This is an encore conversation from Insight on Cap Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. This spring, an article written for the Bruin Voice, the student newspaper at Bear Creek High School in Stockton, stirred controversy and made national news before it even went to print. The staff of the paper was working on a story about an 18-year-old at the school who was also a sex worker. The district expressed concern and challenged the story, and that's when the discussion went nationwide. The paper's staff advisor, Kathy Duffel, and the editor-in-chief, Gabby Backus, joined us on Insight.
Well, usually what happens every morning is we get the paper and we count them into stacks, and our editors and our staff writers go off and deliver the stacks to each of the classrooms. Usually there's not that much of an uproar, you know, they're like, oh, paper's here, you know, not that exciting. But this time it was crazy. There were people rushing out of their seats. The whole class would get up and they were snatching the paper out of our staff writer's hands. Before the delivery person even got out of the room, the paper was gone and everybody was reading it. When we were walking around, everybody was discussing the paper and the article. It was really invigorating for me because, you know, I don't always get to see my paper being appreciated as much as it was this time. Most of the students were excited to read the article. They didn't have too many issues with the issue of pornography. Most people were chiefly concerned with the issue of censorship. That's what really got people up in arms, particularly the students. We only got a little bit of backlash, most notably from some of the teachers.
What kind of backlash?
We had a teacher call it trash, and we had a few teachers come to the principal with their concerns about the students being able to read this article, which is just absurd in my opinion. Most students, you know, they're almost 18. They're going to be exposed to sex, pornography, explicit material at a much younger age than 18, and that's just part of the high school experience. And to say that we shouldn't be publishing it is absurd. We've done multiple spreads on sex before.
As a point of fact, the high school is 9th to 12th graders, correct?
Yes.
So the audience for this paper is for people who might be as young as 14 years old, 15?
Yes, but I still think that it's absurd to say that this article in particular should be censored because we've done multiple issues with sex. In fact, the whole page itself is dedicated to sex. It's a double truck, two-page spread.
I think we have jumped quite a bit ahead quite quickly for a number of people. That's okay, who might not know all about the story. But just in what you're explaining right there, this is both a printed and an online newspaper, the Bruin Voice.
Yes.
And when you say that the pages are dedicated to sex, I think you need to explain that a little more in terms of the content in the paper.
So we decided to do a double truck, which is a two-page spread. It means that the two pages are dedicated to whatever that topic is. Our featured theme for this issue was just sex-related. So we have a story about, obviously, the adult entertainment industry, the profile. We also have a story on LGBTQ sexual education. We have one on gay and bisexual men not being allowed to donate blood. We have the HPV vaccine story.
Kathy, let me bring you into this and talk about how this happens organically, how story ideas are pitched. And I don't want to get away mm-hmm. too far from Caitlin Fink, the mm-hmm. person who was profiled in this article. But just so everybody knows the genesis of this.
Sure.
What
sure.
happens?
Our story cycle starts with our editors sitting down either in a large group or a small group discussion with our staff writers. They pitch story ideas for news, sports, entertainment, feature. And Bailey Kirkaby, who's our news editor and managing editor, happened to be sitting with a group. And one of the students in that group pitched the story and said, hey, I've been hearing about this classmate of mine who is in the adult entertainment industry, and she has a lot of rumors about her. People are whispering, are saying sometimes hurtful things. She's been the subject of bullying. And maybe she might be willing to have an article written about her just to clear up some of those misconceptions. So Bailey, just as a friend, as a peer, reached out to her in class and said, would you be interested in having your story told? And she said, absolutely. And in fact, a condition on which she agreed to do the story was that her name, in fact, was used, because she said, I would appreciate the opportunity that people see me as a person for who I am, instead of just a sex worker and the assumptions they make about it. She said, I think there's a real educational opportunity here.
I want to know what you address in the article in the challenge she was having in high school and then what she is doing now.
Yeah. So she was, we mentioned it in the beginning of the article, she was having problems with her grades. She was hanging out with the wrong crowd.
She says that, yes.
Yes, she mm-hmm. says that in the article. So she was just having a really bad time. And she later decides to start selling some of her images on a messaging app called Kik. She received attention for it and she was interested in pursuing it further. So she decided to start working on Pornhub, I believe. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she's now a registered artist. And she also works with a stripping agency and a modeling agency.
So this story became huge. New York Times, Washington Post. Caitlin's done a little bit of the media herself. When the story hit the school on Friday, what was the reaction for and around Caitlin? And I know you stay in close touch with her. So, Gabby?
Regarding Caitlin, most students were supportive of her situation. We come from a low-income school, so I think most students were understanding of dealing with struggles. And so generally, the response to the article was positive. Like I said earlier, only a few teachers responded negatively. Caitlin Fink herself, as far as I know, she's been content with the article. She was adamant on having her own name posted in it. She did not want to be anonymous. So from what I've heard with this national attention, she's gathered a little bit more job opportunities. So I think she's proud to make a name for herself.
Kathy, do you want to add to that?
In my conversations with Caitlin, and I speak to her frequently, she's also indicated that she's really grateful for the opportunity to humanize sex workers. She wants people to understand that these are not people who have no morals or have no values. These are people who have rent to pay, who have utilities to pay. They have dreams, they have hopes, they have struggles just like everybody else. It was important for Caitlin that we humanize sex workers in general and then start a conversation about pornography in general, because I think Caitlin has said in some of the interviews that it's considered a taboo topic. And just in speaking with some of my own students, they did go home that night and have some conversations around the dinner table about this topic. It did raise some interesting issues and conversations with kids and their families and their parents, not only the free speech issue, but also the choices that Caitlin has made. So I think it has been an incredible teaching and learning opportunity for our students. I receive letters from people all over the country, from 18-year-olds, you know, an 18-year-old in Chicago who thanked me, saying, you've finally given a voice to a group of people who are demeaned in our society, who people think they shouldn't have a voice. And I've received emails from people who fought First Amendment battles back in the 50s, you know, who were editors of their high school paper in Berkeley in 1955, and they're giving us a shout out. So all age groups all across the country, this article has sparked interest.
I want to get to some of the comment from the Lodi Unified School District. They pointed us to published statements that are on their website. From April 26th, the school district said that it supports the rights that students have to freedom of speech. And here's a line from the statement. The district has not censored or stopped publication of the Bruin Voice or any article originally scheduled to be published on April 23rd, now scheduled for May 3rd. The district is legally required to ensure that the publications do not violate Education Code Section 48907, which would prevent the publication of obscenity, defamation, and incitement. There has been a lot of tension. I'm not going to characterize it any further, Kathy, except to say that your job came in jeopardy. The district in that statement is adamant that there was no censorship. How do you characterize their request, which I understand initially was to review the article before it was published?
Yes, I think the district has a difficult time understanding that just making that request has a very chilling effect on free speech. The Bruin Voice is a public forum. The district states in its own Lodi Unified School District policy, a school newspaper is a medium for publishing the news, a public forum for discussing current events of interest to students. So under that definition, we are under the Tinker ruling, the Tinker test, which was the famous 1969 case, Tinker versus Des Moines. And it ruled that the only time that a school district can infringe on school speech is when it has reason to believe that such expression will substantially interfere with the work of the school or impinge upon the rights of other students. The district did not meet that standard in its request to us to preview the article, and that is why we respectfully declined the request.
Can you explain to me how you think the process should work so that they can prevent inappropriate material from being published but not be in a position that's perceived as censoring?
Yes, I think there's already a process in place, and that's 48907, the Ed Code. And that gives the responsibility for determining the section of 48907, whether it's obscenity, defamation. That gives the power to make that determination to the advisor of the publication.
And so that said, then you're implying or saying directly that they shouldn't challenge you on that. They should trust that you're going to be the firewall, the correct protection.
Since I am the one held responsible, yes, that is my job. I've been doing it for 30 years. I have never once had a challenge to the newspaper as far as libel or obscenity or defamation.
Although you are on their radar for some past situations.
Yes.
The two of you, meaning the district and you, have butted heads over similar issues before.
Absolutely. And if you'd like me to elaborate, there are three that really stand out. The first one was in 2010, in which a principal wrote me up for insubordination if I failed to submit the paper to him 1 week in advance prior to publication. And that was after we published a story in which it was noted that he lost his master key for the third time, after sending out a school-wide email in which he admonished the staff for the costs of rekeying the school. And he also ran a questionable math class that was comprised of mostly minority students without parent permission.
And the ultimate outcome of that was?
Was that I declined. I was written up for insubordination. I had to hire my own attorney to get that letter removed from my file. I paid $3,500 to hire that attorney, but that letter was removed from my file, and the superintendent apologized and took that out of my file. And then the next one was over a school safety issue with Principal Shirley McNichols. This was after one of the mass shootings, and we had our editor-in-chief, Michaela Bussey, sit down, and I think she probably was the first person to do this in the district, and actually read our school safety policy, and she went through with a highlighter and marked every single inaccuracy and outdated information, and we published that. And because of that, she confiscated all 1,700 copies of the paper and marched them down to her office and locked them up. she had to release them later in the day, but she was on the 6 o'clock news that day.
Gabby, did this happen to be the last printed school newspaper of the school year?
Yeah, it wasn't actually our plan, but we decided to end with this issue. I think it's a good way to go out.
It was ironic that the day that it was printed was a notable day. I believe it was World Press Freedom Day.
That's funny.
You're graduating this year. What do you plan to do with your journalism, with your education?
I've been getting that question a lot by various news stations. I'm attending the University of California, Berkeley, to major in genetics and genomics, which has nothing to do with journalism, but I'm considering doing a minor in communications because Berkeley has a beautiful graduate program for journalism. And being here in all these different news stations, I've really come to appreciate what you guys do. It's beautiful. And I'd love to keep doing what I do.
That was a conversation from this spring with the Bruin Voice editor-in-chief Gabby Backus and staff advisor Kathy Duffel. That's Insight for today. I'm Beth Ruriak. Insight is produced by Kate Gonzalez and Cody Drabble. We had help from Helen Barrington and Antonio Munez. Our technical director is Mark Jones. Insight's executive producer is Joe Barr. Thanks for joining us.